Feminists interested in models for egalitarian communities have few examples. Where in America have men and women lived equally? One of the few places is Canterbury Shaker Village in New Hampshire. There, men and women shared equal status and authority, though their lives were strictly segregated. But there is more to the sexual politics in a Shaker Village than meets the eye. In the third part of a four-part series, reporter Catherine Curtis looks at the Shaker community, the opportunities, and the difficulties that Shaker theology presented to women.
The issues of gender, sex roles, and sexual politics in a Shaker community are complex. To begin with, the sect is unique for having been founded by a woman. Shakerism is one of the few examples of how a woman would assemble a religious order. Shakerism also calls for equality between the sexes. Shaker theologians saw the universe as split down the middle, with equal halves for men and women. All this was based on celibacy. In fact, understanding their belief in a celibate life is key to understanding the Shakers. When a Shaker took the vow of celibacy, they believed themselves to have been saved. A Shaker village was a heaven on earth. And this is where the Shakers' dedication to work and workmanship comes in. Because Shakers were a saved people, their work should reflect God's own perfection.
By entering the Shakers and leaving the rest of the world behind, they had entered a spiritual world, fully materialized.
Jane Crosthwaite teaches religion at Mount Holyoke College in South Hadley, Massachusetts.
It makes it simpler on the one hand, except now they have to work it out every day in their hard work and recommit themselves to everything they do. But yes, that's why I think celibacy is the issue that we want to overlook as the world's people, but for them was the crucial gateway.
It was a gateway into a better world, where for one thing, men and women were treated as equals. But there's a trickiness to the Shaker brand of equality. Shaker founder Mother Ann Lee reflected her 18th century roots with a very conservative notion of a woman's place. Jean Hume, who teaches women's studies at the University of Massachusetts in Boston, notes that while Shakerism is well known for its radical theology, it has another side as well.
It also was premised on the idea that males and females were fundamentally dissimilar. This was based in nature, and that this was the reason why there had to be a redemption. Second redemption, Christ was thought to have only really been able to redeem the males, and Ann Lee, therefore, was necessary to redeem the females.
So Shaker communities provided two worlds, a man's world and a woman's world. Shaker women were freed from the responsibility of home and family and could channel their interests and energies elsewhere. University of New Hampshire historian Laurel Ulrich.
Shakers took a very radical position in their position of celibacy, which meant that individual women were not subject to individual men, and that the work of Shaker women, even though it was traditional work, the kind of thing that would be defined as good housekeeping in another setting, was work directed toward the larger community and work that was valued and visible and important.
Woman's work was also given a spiritual value and even a place in Shaker religious services. Again, Jean Hume.
For example, there was something called the sweeping gift, which was a kind of an elaborate processional in which all the sisters, I've forgotten if the brothers were included to it, but certainly the sisters lined up and mimicked sweeping out, spiritually sweeping out the house and sweeping it clean of all the old sins. And so there were ways in which women's presence and their work life got incorporated into the imagery and the poetry, the songs, the processionals, in ways that are denied within mainstream Christianity, so that it allows the feminine back into religious imagery.
But a traditional Shaker community did not encourage women to expand their spheres of activity. Shaker women were dependent on men to run the farm and the finances and to make contact with the outside world. In the same way, men were dependent on women to run the household. For a Shaker community to work, each sphere had to be operating. And this is one of the ways that Shakerism ran into trouble. According to historian Brad Fletcher, as early as 1850, Shaker Village attracted many more women than men.
Certainly from 1800 on, women outnumbered men. And by 1850, it was 3-2, and it only got worse from there. And I think it's indicative of the fact that Shakerism always had more appeal for women than for men. I think it offered them things that the larger society just didn't offer them. It offered them companionship. It offered them a chance for responsibility and leadership. And for men, this was kind of a man's age by 1870, and this chance to go out and make $1 million or move west, and this just didn't have a whole lot of meaning.
Canterbury Shaker Village was a haven for women, allowing them to work independently and to discover their potential. But it was by no means a feminist utopia. The Shaker experience began and remained primarily as a religious one. It may have been religion as a woman would shape it, but the aim was always salvation, not self-discovery. For WEVO News, I'm Catherine Curtis.
Tomorrow, in the last part of our series, a look at the lives of Shakers who have shaped the village's history.